Welcome to Oak City Church, a family of learners, lovers, and givers sent. For more information, visit us online at oakcitychurch.com. Let us know if we can help you in any way. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. I am clearly not Jeff. My name is Jean Marie, and I head up our prayer ministry at Oak City. I'm going to talk this morning about something that might be a little bit uncomfortable, but we've already kind of broached the subject this morning with our ministries coming up here. There are some topics that come up from time to time at church that tend to make people squirm in their seats a little bit, and I can see that some of you guys are already squirming, and I haven't even really gotten started, so hang on with me. 6 years ago, God called me to homeschool my kids, and that was a pretty big deal. I thought that was a pretty big ask, but we jumped in and we did it. 3 years ago, he called me to lead the prayer ministry here, which was also a pretty big deal. And I'd like to be able to say that in both cases, I jumped in and was just completely trusting of God, and it all went great, and yeah, let's do this, God. And actually, that's completely not how it went at all. It was more along the lines of, are you sure, God? You sure about this? This seems like a really big deal, and I'm probably going to mess this up, and I'm sure there's somebody who can do this better than me, but okay, let's try it. And then about a week ago, last week, I got the opportunity to go to Texas and attend the IF Lead Conference. If you're familiar with the IF Gathering, it's the same people. They put this thing on, and it was a fantastic conference. It was a great chance to meet some of the people from IF Gathering and really just be inspired by them. But honestly, going into it, I was just really feeling defeated. I wasn't sure why I was there. I was really feeling tapped out in ministry and just kind of like, well, I'm going to go. We're going to do this. But I don't really belong there. I'm not really a leader. There's probably a lot more real leaders there, whatever that means. That's just not me. But I'm going to go and just hopefully get something out of it. They asked us at one point towards the end of the conference, they had a couple of questions for us. And one of them was, why did you think you were coming to this conference? Honestly, my answer at that point was, I'm here to pick up some tips on being a better leader. I don't know. Why am I here? But then they followed up with that a little bit later with a second question that says, now that you've been here, now that you've been here listening for a little while, why did you actually come? And the idea behind that is, why did God bring you here? And that's a completely different question, a completely different answer. By the end of the conference, I knew that God had brought me there because I needed to be reminded that my work, no matter what it is, whether it's homeschooling my kids or working in prayer ministry, no matter what work I'm doing, my work is not about me, and it's all about Him. It's completely about Him. It's always been about Him. I don't have to have it all together because He puts it together for me, and I don't have to be perfect at the job that I do, whatever job I'm doing, because He's perfecting me through the work that He's doing to His glory, because it's all about Him. Has God ever called you to do something that really kind of made you question His sanity? Just, God, what are you thinking? What are you doing? You might be familiar with this feeling. The call can kind of sit with you. It just kind of stirs around in your stomach. It sits in your brain somewhere, and you can't really get past it. And God won't let it go. And finally, at some point, you might have like a Luke Skywalker moment. You know, the scene where he's working with Yoda and he's trying to figure out the Force. And Yoda's like, let's try this again. And Luke's like, all right, I'll try. And what does Yoda say? What is his response? Yeah. Hey, that was a pretty good impression. It was, we're not going to try. We're actually going to do this. Well, God's response is similar, but it's a little bit different. God's response when you finally say, okay, fine, I'll try this, is more along the lines of, okay, I can work with that. Now watch this. Because He's the one who's doing it, not us. He's not waiting for us to acquire some great skill. It's always God working in it. If you are reluctant, if you have felt reluctant, as I have, to step into a role that God's giving you, if you've been a reluctant servant leader, and yes, I do say leader, no matter what the role is, because we're all leading something, whatever your function is. It doesn't have to be on stage. It doesn't have to be some big calling to write a book or be a speaker or anything like that. It can be something simple that never gets noticed, but God notices it. So if you've ever been that reluctant servant leader, there are tons of examples that God gives us in the Bible. You're not alone. You're in really good company. There's the mumbling murderer Moses. Let's say that 10 times fast. Not really, just, yeah. There's the mumbling murderer Moses, who whined more to God about not being able to do what God wanted him to do than my kids whined to me about a new math lesson. There was Jonah, who was so reluctant to do what God wanted him to do that he went the complete opposite direction of where God was trying to get him to go. There was Gideon, who responded to God's call with whining. There's kind of a common theme here. As they told God, I'm the weakest, I'm the least of these, I can't possibly do what you're asking me to do. Maybe if you gave me a sign. So God gives him a sign. Maybe another sign. How about just one more sign? And I'm, you know, we can relate to that, right? Maybe one more sign, God. There's Jeremiah, who told God that he didn't know how to speak. So God gave him the words. And then even after he had the words from God, he was complaining because the people don't like my words, God. Well, he was telling them that they were about to be destroyed, so maybe that had something to do with it just a little bit. And then there was Paul, who prior to his conversion was Saul, the religious terrorist who aspired to arrest and kill as many Christians as possible, which made him super popular with the apostles later on. Hey, guys, guess what? I'm on your team now. That went over really well. So if you are feeling reluctant to step into a role, you are certainly not the first, and you will not be the last. And maybe you're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, well, that's fine. But these are all people from the Bible. These are all people who God called to really big jobs. And that's not me. That's not where I'm at. Let me encourage you with this. This is a quote from A.W. Tozer. This was a pastor and theologian from the first half of the 20th century. This is what he had to say about reluctant servant leaders. He says, the true and safe leader is likely to be the one who has no desire to lead, but is forced into a position of leadership by the inward pressure of the Spirit and the press of the external situation. Such were Moses, David, and the Old Testament prophets. And I think there was hardly a great Christian leader from Paul to this present day, but was drafted by the Holy Spirit for the task and commissioned by the Lord of the church to fill a position he had little natural heart for. I believe that it might be accepted as a fairly reliable rule of thumb that the man who is ambitious to lead is disqualified as a leader. The church of the firstborn is no place for the demagogue or the petty religious dictator. The true leader will have no wish to lord it over God's heritage, but will be humble, gentle, self-sacrificing, and altogether as ready to follow as to lead when the Spirit makes it plain to him that a wiser and more gifted man than himself has appeared. So be encouraged by that as well. If you're feeling like you're not leadership material, that might actually be a really good indicator that you are. There's a lot of reasons that we can come up with on our own for not wanting to step into some kind of servant leadership role. I can't bake. I'm not so great with kids. I don't think I can really sing. I don't like people, which, by the way, if that's your reason, you might want to talk to somebody about that because that's probably a bigger problem. There's also a lot of reasons that the enemy gives us for not stepping into a service role. See if any of these sound familiar to you. You've never done that before. You're really going to mess this up. What makes you think you can do that? You aren't qualified for that. You don't have the right experience, skills, gifts. No one is going to take you seriously. They aren't going to like the way that you do it. There are probably a lot of people who could do this better than you. You're not good enough. What if they find out about your past? Aren't you afraid? Every single one of those statements is an attack from our enemy, and it is a lie from the pits of hell. They are meant to distract us, to discourage us, and really just to make us distrust God. So I would like to invite you this morning. We're going to do this in just a minute, take some time on this, but I would like to invite you right now to give all of those doubts, all of those roadblocks, all of those fears to God. Everything that's holding you back, everything that the enemy is trying to use to tell you that you can't, give it to God, who is standing there waiting to say, I can, and because of me, you will. So we're going to do something. Sorry, we're going to do something that Protestants don't do very much. We're going to have a time of confession. And before you decide that this is a really great time to go get more coffee or go to the bathroom, hang on. It's not that kind of confession. But confession is a form of sacrifice. Every kind of sacrifice costs us something. It might cost you a moment of feeling awkward. It might cost you some pride. It might cost you that feeling of control. But it's a sacrifice. It's a way of saying to God, I'm going to give you this. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. The power of confession is that it allows us to take our thoughts captive. It allows us to take those thoughts captive and lay them before God and give him the things that come between us and him. And once we've done that, then God can free us from those things that have been holding us back and holding us captive. So we're going to have just a really simple prayer up on the screen. In fact, if it doesn't show up on the screen, that's okay, because it's really basic. We're just going to say, God, I give you my whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning. God, I give you my fear, my shame, my pride, my busyness, whatever it is that's really sitting with you and getting in the way. But then the second part of that is to proclaim with confidence that thing no longer has any power over me. I'm giving it to God, and now it has no power over me. So I know this is awkward, so I'll start us off, but I invite you guys to jump in as you feel led. You can pray right there at your seat. You can pray with someone near you. You can speak out loud. Let this be your prayer of confession before God this morning. Let it be a moment that you share with God and just free yourself from whatever it is that's been holding you back. So let's pray for just a few minutes. God, I give you right now my addiction to approval, my need for approval. You're the only one that I need approval from, and I need to be constantly reminded of that. So God, I give you that this morning. I lay that at your feet. And I proclaim by your power that the need for human approval no longer has power over me. What else are we struggling with this morning, church? What's getting in your way this morning? What can you hand to God right now? What else? What's getting in your way? What's standing between you and God right now? God, we need you to speak into our hearts. What is it this morning? What's weighing heavy on you? God, I give you my whatever it is. Proclaim it now that it has no power over you, that you are freed from it because of God. Father, we come here this morning ready to pour out. We know that we cannot be filled with your presence if we are full already. We know that we need you to fill us to overflowing to be able to share with the world around us. So God, we ask you to empty us, that you can take that place of all the busyness and the fears, all the pride, all the things that get in our way. God, we pour those out for you now as a sacrifice, as a confession. And we ask you to fill that space and do all the things that only you can do as we respond to you this morning. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So, if you've been a reluctant servant leader, we've looked at that. There's lots of examples of that. Thankfully, there are also examples in the Bible of people who said yes. I wish that I was among that. It's not that simple. It's a pretty hard battle. But there were some really good examples in the Bible of people who just said yes to God when he called. One of those was the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And I love reading Isaiah. He had such a great response. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' Then Isaiah responds, 'Here I am. Send me.'" Can't you just see God kind of scratching his chin, like, "I wonder who we can send to go do this thing." And Isaiah's like, "Ooh, ooh, me, pick me. It's such a great response. But going back to Paul's story in Acts 9, we read about a man named Ananias, and there's really just this kind of small part for him as far as the Bible story goes, but it's such an important part just from him stepping out in obedience. So in Acts 9, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Just that first step of obedience and responding to God. "And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So Ananias has heard about this guy. He's like, God, I know this guy. I've heard of his name. Do you realize he's here with a warrant for anybody who believes in you? But he does it anyway. He doesn't say no. He's just a little hesitant. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Ananias faced a really desperate situation. It was really dangerous for him. He could have very easily said, no, this is too much. This is beyond my means here, God. You're asking too much of this. But he didn't. And he stepped out in obedience, and he stepped out trusting God to take care of the situation ahead of him. And he went before this guy that he knows could very easily take him into, could arrest him and possibly have him killed, but he responds in obedience. Saying yes isn't always comfortable, and it isn't even always safe. That's not a promise that's made. It requires trust to know that God knows better than we do, that he goes ahead of us to make sure that we're prepared to face whatever it is that he's called us to do. And it takes that very first step of obedience. It always, always starts with that first step of obedience. So I've asked a couple of our Oak City servant leaders to share with us this morning about their experience being called and how they responded to God's call. So if you guys want to come on up. We've got Danielle. Yeah. This is Danielle and Rob. You guys can say hi.
Hi.
So I just wanted to ask you guys to share really quickly. When you felt like God was leading to you, well, first of all, what do you guys do? What do you work in?
Well, I'm the worship leader here at Oak City. I was here a minute ago.
Yeah, probably. You were just up here. You were just here.
And I'm with the children's ministry. I teach the second through fifth graders.
There you go. What were some of the barriers that you guys had? What were some of the hesitations that held you back from responding to God asking you to serve?
So what I have always used as my excuse, I did not work with the worship team for the first, I think, 7 years that I came to Oak City, and I was here pretty much from the beginning. And I like to say that it was because of time and timing. I was in grad school for part of that time and had a lot of other things going on, but really it was fear. I was really afraid of not being, like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like our musicians are awesome. They're so gifted. God has like really sent some incredible talent our way, and we get to utilize that in our corporate worship, and just some really amazing hearts for worship here. And so from the beginning, that was a big part of what drew me into Oak City at the time, Visio Day. And so it was like, this is amazing to get to be a part of this corporate worship, but I'm not that. I can't do that. I don't know how those things work, and they've got those in-ear things and whatever. So I just didn't feel qualified at all, and that held me back for a really long time.
For me, it was basically all the things you said earlier. I'm not good enough. I have no idea what I'm doing. What if I fail? What if the kids don't like me? What if they don't learn? What if I teach them something wrong, and they tell the parents, and the parents are mad at me? I can't do this. I mean, who am I to think that I could teach kids? But and those things just kept coming and coming and coming. And it took a long time to kind of just, you know, jump in. And I remember when me and my wife decided to help with the children of the ministry, I'm like, what am I doing? I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified for this, but yeah, it was a big barrier to overcome.
So what has God shown you so far in responding to your obedience to that call? What has God shown you since you decided to take on those roles?
So for me, I think he's definitely helped me to like recognize and work on my own obsession with like perfection versus excellence. And I think coming into a role and saying, I have to be perfect at it, and if I can't be perfect at it, I'm going to ruin everything for everybody else. And he only calls us into roles we can be perfect at. That's a ridiculous idea, but that was one that I have been hard struggling with for a while. So, you know, had to come in humbly and say, I have no idea what I'm doing. Teach me, tell me what to do, show me how everything works. And sometimes I have to sit back and, you know, trust that somebody else has a better vision than me and trust that, more importantly, God knows what he is doing. And so laying down my control and my fears and my needs for perfection over God's idea of excellence in his vision for church, for his church.
It's he's shown me that you can trust him in all things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was teaching every morning, I would have the same routine. I would have an anxiety attack. I would say, this is it, the last day I'm teaching, I'm going to tell Sam I'm going to quit. But there was always this one voice in my head saying, now hold on, one more Sunday. That's all I asked, one more Sunday. And I would do it, and I would say, God, okay, I'm here. Please just use me to your glory. Just give me the words, give me the thoughts. Help me guide and mentor these kids. And every Sunday, without fail, he would. And that's just been so eye-opening and comforting and strengthening. I just want to say real quick, I want to, you know, just going back to the ministry teams, if you have any interest in teaching the kids, do it. Yes. Forget your fears, forget your doubts. If I can do it, you can do it. Yeah.
Woo! All right,
thank you.
Thanks, Seth. All right. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. So, of course, our greatest example of the servant leader saying yes was Christ. There is no better example than Christ. In Philippians 2, Paul encourages the church to serve each other in humility. But he goes on to say, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His obedience led to his exaltation, but as with everything, it was always to the glory of God the Father. Everything we do is to the glory of God the Father. In one of our sessions at the conference that I just attended at IF Lead, the speaker said something that really stuck with me. She said, the number of lives on the other side of our obedience is immeasurable. Just let that sit with you for just a second. The number of lives on the other side of our obedience is immeasurable. What does that even mean? Well, think of it this way. When you get to heaven someday, there will be people who come up and talk to you and shake your hand and say hi. You may not even know, you're not going to recognize them. And they're going to say, I'm here because of you. I'm here because of that thing that you did, that God called you to do, that you thought was insignificant, that you thought was just not important, that you thought nobody noticed, that you felt just spread thin on. I'm here because you did that. I'm here because you said yes. How many lives can be credited back to that simple act of obedience by Ananias? We got Paul. We got Paul because Ananias said yes. Paul, who went on to talk to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, which that's us, by the way. We're the Gentiles. We got Paul because Ananias said yes. And praise God, Jesus said yes. How many lives are credited back to Jesus' act of obedience? Praise God for that. How many lives are on the other side of your obedience right now? When you're feeling reluctant to serve, it's a good idea to remember why we serve. It isn't to compete with other people. It's not to compare and say, well, I better catch up because they're working really hard over there and they're getting noticed and I guess I better do something. It isn't because we feel guilty. It isn't to make us feel better or to look better. It's all because of God. It's all for Him. It's His kingdom work. It's always been about Him. It was never about us. We bring nothing to the table. He doesn't need our experience. He doesn't need our skills. He doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our education. He doesn't need our money. He just needs us to trust Him and to obey. And that's it. Everything we do is about God's glory and serving His kingdom. So we're going to have one more time of prayer this morning. And I don't have a guide for you on the slides, and that's okay. But this is just really open-ended. This is a time for you to just talk to God and respond. Just that simple, here I am, God. Send me. I'm here. If you've already heard from Him, if He's already been speaking to you, this is your time to say, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to try it. I'm ready. Tell me what I need to do next. You can ask Him to equip you, ask Him to give you courage, ask Him to move those roadblocks out of the way. But just be willing to respond to Him with that simple, I'm here, I'm ready, let's do this. And just see what He's going to do through you. Is He calling you? Has He been calling? Are you already serving and you just feel burnout? You feel like what you do doesn't matter. What you do matters. It matters for everybody that comes after you. There are lives on the other side of your obedience. So let's just take some time, just a few minutes right now. Again, you can pray quietly by yourself. You can pray with people nearby. I encourage you to pray out loud. Just offer it to God right now. Speak it out there. God, I'm here. God, I'm ready. Send me. God, I need this. God, I need this. Equip me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus, our greatest servant leader example. Thank You for His act of obedience, that He was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Thank You that we get to participate in the work of Your kingdom, that it is not an obligation, but it is a great privilege that we get to participate with You. Thank You that we can set aside the stress of trying to figure out how we're going to make it all happen, because You just ask us to trust You, to obey You. You've got it all worked out. God, we praise You for providing everything we need to do what You've called us to do. Thank You for empowering us. Thank You for encouraging us and equipping us. God, we give You all the credit. We give You all the glory because it's all about You. We love You and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.